This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The race between GOP challengers for Kay Hagan's Senate seat is heating up, and the divide between Republican establishment and the Tea Party seems to be growing. Tom Tillis leads the pack in terms of fundraising, but some candidates, like Kerry Dr. Greg Brannon, are getting assistance from national conservative stars like Senator Rand Paul. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us again to talk about the latest in North Carolina politics. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, hosted a fundraiser for CPAC, the Conservative Action Conference, a political action conference. And there was Dr. Greg Brannon, a Tea Party candidate for the Senate, held by Kay Hagan. Does this Tea Party backing help him?
Well, it absolutely does. I mean, we know that the Tea Party is angry, and we've known that for a long time. They're angry at President Obama. They're angry at Obamacare. But most of all, they're angry at a Republican Party they think is afraid of standing up for constitutional principles. So if a candidate like Greg Brannon is deemed the Tea Party candidate and get the endorsement of Rand Paul, you can see money coming in from Brannon from Tea Party groups all over the country, especially the fact that given the fact that most people think that Mitch McConnell is backing Tom Tillis, the ostensible front runner in the party, the establishment front runner, the Tea Party would like nothing better to do than to stop Tillis and do it with Brannon. The problem is that Rand Paul could raise all the money he wants from him, but he can't change what happened in this civil suit that went on last month and that was going on continuing. The fact that Brannon has to pay $450,000 in civil fines and back pay and stuff like that. And that's kind of the publicity that Brannon does not want going into the May 6th primary.
Brannon himself is not running away from it. In fact, he's praising all of the values embraced by the Tea Party, as he did at that CPAC meeting.
The Constitution is only going to be worked if us, the sovereign, hold everybody accountable, have servant citizens like Senator Paul, Senator Lee, Senator Cruz. Matt Kibbe's activist has just been phenomenal. Freedom Works, what it's done for our campaign in North Carolina, has just been completely humbling.
So he's all for it, and the money's coming in, but most of the money is going to Tom Tillis, who is getting, and as you suggested, Mitch McConnell, the other Kentucky senator, is supporting Tom Tillis in the primary battle. Tell us more about Tillis and his race.
Well, you know, Tillis, of course, the Speaker of the House, and of course, since the Republicans came to power after the 2010 elections, not only nationally in the House, but in North Carolina, getting the legislature and, of course, getting the governorship in 2012, Tillis has become the key person in the legislature to advance this very conservative philosophy. The problem is that once you're established as the establishment candidate, you'll get the opposition from Tea Party activists around the country and in the state. And of course, Tillis is not doing himself much good lately when he said these comments about minimum wage, and not only should we not have an increase in the minimum wage, and Republicans around the country everywhere seem to feel that a minimum wage increase is needed, but he also questioned the validity of having the concept of a minimum wage to begin with. So somebody running statewide for the first time often gets into trouble, and Tillis has found himself on the defensive, at least, as in recent days.
And statewide is the key point, because when you look at the last election here, more people voted in national elections and statewide elections for Democrats than for Republicans. This despite the fact that the House, Senate, and Governor's Mansion are all in the hands of Republicans. And that's what Tillis has to do. He's got to run a statewide campaign, right?
He does, but you know something, that also creates problems for Brannon, because, you know, you could talk about Rand Paul and how popular he is with CPAC and the Libertarians and all that, and for the second year in a row, he won the CPAC straw poll for 2016, but the Republican Party is more than CPAC. The Republican Party is more than the Tea Party, and there are a lot of people who feel, there are a lot of Republicans who feel that the answer, the real story is, how do we beat Kay Hagan in November? And if the polls continue to show, or if the polls show that Tom Tillis and that kind of backing is the candidate to do it, then that explains the battle and the frustration between establishment and Tea Party Republicans.
Well, we left out one candidate at least, Mark Harris, a Charlotte minister, but he appears to be struggling at the moment.
Well, we actually left out a lot of them because there are eight Republicans in all running. But, you know, Mark Harris is this Baptist preacher. He's backed by Mike Huckabee. He's going around campaigning in churches, but he's well known for what he did in 2012 with the traditional marriage amendment in the state constitution. But he's not getting, you know, he's not getting attention. He doesn't have much money. He's just really known on the church circuit. sounds like a rock and roll concert thing. But but also the fact is that if the opposition to Tillis coalesces around Brannon, then Mark Harris and the other Republicans just find themselves out in the cold.
Now, you talked about the dynamics within the state and the struggle between Tea Party and mainstream Republicans. Tillis is leading in the fundraising battle. The fact that we're talking about Karl Rove and Mitch McConnell on Tillis's camp and Rand Paul in Brannon's camp suggests there's a lot of national interest as well, and the money is pouring in. Tillis is the leader. Tell us about that and how important North Carolina is to at the national level.
Oh, it's crucial. As a matter of fact, it is the most expensive Senate race, or more money is being spent in North Carolina, probably from outside forces, than any other state in the country. I mean, North Carolina is only the 10th most populous state, and yet it is ground zero for 2014 Senate battles. The Republicans, of course, need a net gain of 6 seats. Kay Hagan has been vulnerable from day one, especially her support for Obama, President Obama, and the Affordable Care Act. And we saw in this special election this week in Florida, where a very popular and highly regarded Democrat lost her seat, basically because she defended Obamacare. And a lot of Democrats around the country looking at Florida and say, oh, my goodness, we could be in big, big trouble. So tons of money is pouring into North Carolina, and they just feel that this is a race they have to win. Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers group, has already put $8 million alone in the campaign against Hagan, and the question is whether the Republicans could unite after the May 6th primary and then just put all their focus on Kay Hagan.
Let's move to Congress now. Robert Pittenger, the 9th District Republican congressman, sent a fundraising letter that caused some controversy. He called President Obama enemy number one. He's the president of the United States, you remember, and he's influenced
by Pittenger or Obama? Pittenger is the chairman of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism. And so for somebody who is the chairman of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism to call Obama enemy number one is just beyond belief. He also talked about Obama's Islamo-communist upbringing, because as we all know, Obama's father was a communist. Actually, the only person who knows that is Pittenger, because nobody else knows that for sure. But this is, I mean, it's interesting. Pittenger doesn't have to prove his conservative bona fides, but he did send out this fundraising letter not long after the announcement that he's being challenged by the right, by a Tea Party candidate on the right. So Pittenger, who normally is not this bombastic, sends out this fundraising letter that's so over the top.
You know, the communists have been out of the news since the fall of the Soviet Union, whatever. But as I recall, the communists were famously atheistic. So an Islamo-communist to me is kind of a weird picture anyway. But maybe the people who read those letters didn't know that either.
Well, this happens every time we get an African-American president. It's happened every time since. So that's probably what's behind it.
Okay. Hey, let's back to the Senate now. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr made the headlines this week in an exchange with a Canadian doctor, Danielle Martin, over health care during a Senate subcommittee on primary health and aging. And they went back and forth over Senator Burr seems to think that health care is really, really poor. And the doctor just couldn't help but disabuse him of that idea. Talk about that exchange.
Well, this was, of course, this is a Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, and he's, of course, a proponent of single-payer health care. So he held this hearing to talk about single-payer health care and what it's like, what's going on in Canada, because Canada has single-payer health care. And Richard Burr, the senator from North Carolina, the Republican senator, talked of basically the argument, the talking points against single-payer health care, that why is it failing in Canada? Why is it going wrong in Canada? And at the end, he just, you know, thought he had a zinger to give to this Canadian doctor about, you know, why is everything going wrong? And she got the last word.
Well, let's hear it.
On average, how many Canadian patients on a waiting list die each year? Do you know?
I don't, sir, but I know that there are 45,000 in America who die waiting because they don't have insurance at all.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great gotcha moment, but Burr should have known better. And Burr's point, of course, was trying to make the argument that health care policy is not going to work. And she says, look, what about the 45,000 Americans who die every year because they don't have health care insurance at all? And I think certainly in that one, she got the better of the exchange.
All right. Finally, Zach Galifianakis made the news this week, and it's an amazing interview that he did in Between Two Ferns with none other than the President of the United States. It's on our website if you want to see it, but that was pretty wild, huh? That was kind of great.
It was great. I mean, it's the first time I think that Zach Galifianakis has ever interviewed an Islamo-communist president. but it was funny. The two of them would deadpan each other, but we're missing the real story about Galifianakis.
Which is?
His uncle, Nick Galifianakis, as you well know, ran for the Senate in 1972 against Jesse Helms. He was a former two-term congressman from Durham. He's still around, but he needed two campaign buttons because his name is so long. Every time he ran for the House or the Senate, he needed two campaign buttons to get Galifianakis to fit on the campaign buttons. And I put this up on Facebook and Twitter the last couple of days. I've gotten tons of responses from people in North Carolina who say their parents still sing the Nick Galifianakis campaign theme song from the 60s and 70s. They still sing it today.
You can see that at our website, too. And I know you're going to be in town the next time we talk, and that's going to be great to have you here and talk with some of our listeners. You're going to be live sitting across from me on the show. By the way, Nick lives in Durham, so if you want, Ken, I can hook you up and maybe get you a spot on Between Two Ferns.
Well, I'd rather meet Nick Galifianakis because once upon a time he was a rising star in North Carolina politics. By the way, I am much better looking on the radio than I am in person. You'll see that in 2 weeks.
You'll see for yourself. Ken Rudin, thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, the North Carolina Democratic Party has new leadership, and we'll talk about the future of the party on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.